Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are back to talk about Only Murders in the Building Season 3. And spoiler alert, we both think it's the best season yet, but keep listening so we can tell you why.
Don't turn it off now. Don't touch that dial.
Especially because we have some hot TV news. I'll start us off with something I saw that I just wanted to quickly run over. And by run over, I mean run through. Tyler from Selling the OC is leaving the Oppenheim group.
You might have to clarify who that is. I don't know if he's a household name. Know? But for Mr. Brittany, former Brittany Snow husband.
Yes. Who has been in a lot of drama. And so I'm kind of surprised because it seems like he's getting all of his paycheck from being on Selling the OC.
Mm-hmm.
But like the quote was like, my decision to leave the Oppenheim group is about making the best decision for my clients and my career. So it's like, oh, he actually, I guess, doesn't want to be famous and really wants to sell real estate. Okay.
I guess I respect that a little bit because I mean, I didn't ever watch season two. Did you watch season two? Or only
never
one.
Did.
I heard season two was actually good. I haven't watched it yet, though. But in season one, I don't know. He kind of seemed like thirsty a little bit. And like kind of like, I don't know. He was kind of like boring and it. And I don't know. Just seemed like, why are you on this show?
Because he's hot.
Yeah, he has a famous wife. But I don't remember him actually ever saying her name. It was just like a weird. He was just a weird situation. I'm going to piggyback on that and say that they did drop the poster for Selling Sunset Season 7, which is actually a tongue twister. Selling Sunset Season 7.
Selling Sunset Season 7.
It's dropping November 3rd, and the poster is really funny. First of all, Heather's not on the poster, and she did not seem happy about that. She, like, posted, like, love all my girlies on the poster. So I don't know. She's weird.
She said, I have it up because that's the one I bookmarked.
Oh, okay,
she
perfect. Said,
looks like I got pushed into the water. It's a good thing I can swim. Congrats to my girls on season 7. You may see me in a few episodes.
Oh, dot, my dot, dot. Gosh. Just no. It's so funny. And I did see, you know, I kept meaning to like flip my phone over and look at the poster upside down so I could see the facial expressions, because it's them standing by the pool and their reflections in the water are all like shadier and like glaring at each other and stuff.
Oh, but I didn't see the full poster.
It's not distinct enough. I'm doing it right now. It's not distinct enough at all to make any impact. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, they are different. Like, it's not like the Oppenheim twins are doing anything different because they only literally have one facial expression. Like, it's just like, it's kind of a miss. It's a good idea. They're kind of trying to be Succession-y with the poster, but it did not work. I don't think they need
Heather
to be
cropped
doing
off
something
the
crazier.
Bottom part.
They need to be like pretending to strangle each other or like screaming,
have like because, knives in their hands,
yeah, like something, because they're all just kind of like Chriselle has the biggest difference in her, the reflection, and she's literally just crossing her arms. Like, it's just not
enough. She's an actress.
Go bigger. So, anyway. Very funny.
Big news for me, because they announced the final season of The Crown is going to be released in two parts, unfortunately. But part one is November 16th, and part two is December 14th. So, a quick release for both.
Mm-hmm. I need to get to work.
It's time. I think it's official.
It is time. So
the poster
didn't...
is really cool.
Yeah, it looks
the
good.
The one of Diana is back. There's two posters
on the pier.
And the other one is of the queen, but
oh,
the
I
pier
haven't
one
even
is the one I'm talking
the
about.
The only one I've seen is the Diana one. I have never, so it's like no one, everyone just cares about that one because it's so pretty.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That poster actually is what made me be like, okay, yeah, I want to watch it.
There we go. And that's on good marketing.
Yeah. And that's on marketing. This one doesn't it's not a show either of us have watched. Is the reboot of iCarly on Paramount Plus, which from what I can tell online, is probably one of the better reboots. People actually like it, and they like seeing the iCarly characters as adults. But it was canceled, and the final episode was a huge cliffhanger, and everyone is so mad. And I know the cliffhanger because I used to see Carly saying mom, like her mom showed up, who's never been seen. No one knows what she looks like. Apparently the lore is she's bad mom. I never watched iCarly. I was just a little too old for it. But I've seen that commercial a billion times because it would always come in between random, like the first, when I opened Paramount Plus and I have to watch an ad before I start watching Drag Race, it was usually an iCarly commercial. And it was that. And so I was like, wow, interesting. And now everyone's mad because they're never going to know who were they going to cast as her mom. And everyone's really mad because they were really excited. So I feel bad for the fans. I would be pissed if I were them.
I feel bad for them too. But following the discourse online and seeing people in uproar has been kind of funny. And like, to me, the most shocking part was that they ran it for 3 seasons. I had no idea.
It was very popular. That's what's also kind of confusing. That's like, you don't, like, you can't give them, I mean, this is from the network that decided Zoe 102 was a good idea. And they have like this successful reboot, and it's totally playing off of the millennial nostalgia that is like the most bankable thing you got, but it's mm-hmm. actually doing it well. And so it just seems like a big mistake. I hope maybe they can get a movie that can at least cast iCarly's mom, so that mystery is solved. That seems to be what everyone is the most mad about.
Yeah.
And I will go strike. I'll be on the picket lines with them, even as non-viewer of the show, just because I've seen that ad so many times. I wanted to know who was cast as iCarly's mom too. So I support them.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Have you heard of this new Hulu original series by FX titled A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin?
I just saw something about that today, but I forgot to bookmark it. Who's making it?
Well, the creators of The OA.
Okay, that's what it is. I saw Britt Marling. Yes.
So she's in it as well. And yeah, it's the same creators. And so I watched the trailer and I'm intrigued. It looks really good.
I will watch.
It's premiering on November 14th.
If you tell me, like, literally the creators of The OA is a watch for me, because I will be like, what in the world is this going to be? Because that's probably mm-hmm. the weirdest show I've ever seen. And it's very, if you know, you know, because there's still people that tweet save the OA.
And it comes up kind of a lot.
And Britt Marling is also,
we talk about it a lot.
It's also Taylor Goff's doppelganger.
I've been told. I did not say that myself.
It's not just me who has said that. It's been told many times, and it is true. And I was just making myself laugh because I was thinking of the memes where Drake is saying like no to something, and then he's pointing like yes to something. And so it's like for this show, it's like Emma Corrin, and it's like meh, whatever. And then Britt Marling. Yes. Unfortunately, and it's not their fault, but Emma, I feel like my policeman left a sour taste in my mouth for Emma Corrin. But yeah, that I feel like my policeman ruined Emma Corrin just a little bit for me, and it wasn't anyone's fault in that movie. It just wasn't a good movie.
It was, yeah, whoever made the movie, it's their fault.
Yeah, it was just boring, but all the people in it were good, but, and so it's not fair that I think that. So that's even more of a reason to watch this show.
My last piece of news is that Only Murders in the Only Murders in the Building never gets easier to say, was renewed for season 4, which, thank goodness, because they leave us on a cliffhanger that we will discuss on this episode at the end.
Yes. Thank goodness we don't have to suffer like the iCarly fans.
Thank goodness. In season three of Only Murders in the Building, Martin Short's character, what's his name in the show?
Oliver.
Oliver is directing a play that he also writes and writes all the music for and is very invested in getting a Tony for this play and wants the play to be really good. And so we thought it would be fun for our top three, if we were to write a play, choose who we would want to direct it. In the show, the director is Steve Martin.
No, it's who Martin would... Short.
Oh my gosh. The Martins?
It's really
of
hard.
All
it's really
is so
hard.
Confusing.
It is really hard.
Martin Short is the director. Who would we want to be our lead actor in the show? It's played by Paul Rudd, and he is amazing. And then who would we want to produce our show? And I don't know who the producers are. They're not anyone famous that I could. Right?
I kept,
are they?
I kept looking up the mom because she looked so familiar to me, but I think she's just in so many things as small parts that nothing was standing out to me.
Okay, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Okay, so what TV characters would you hire to direct, be your lead, and produce your play, Jordan?
Well, for director, I picked Shirley Ralph's character from Abbott Elementary, Barbara Howard, like kind of the older kindergarten teacher. She's just like the perfect kind of like authority figure, you know? She can whip all these actors into shape. She has a clear vision.
Yes.
I thought she'd be perfect. For my star, it's kind of cheating because this is a reality show person who has already been on Broadway, but I picked Jinx Monsoon from Drag Race.
Great.
Because I really can picture Jinx as a character on Only Murders in the Building. They have a history of, they always have people that come on and play themselves. And I feel like it would be fun to have a drag queen like energy and person on the show. I just feel like it would fit into the vibe very, very well.
I agree. I would love that.
It would be very fun.
And we should start a tweeting campaign right now.
I agree.
Get Jinx in season four.
It'd be amazing. And then for my producer, I was trying to think of like rich characters who don't have a lot to do. And I said Christine Taylor's character from Search Party, Dory's boss. I feel like she would also fit. I feel like Search Party has kind of like a, it's a, like has kind of a similar vibe sometimes. Like it's just, it's grounded in reality for the most part, especially the beginning of the series. But just a little over the top, like a little too silly. And that's kind of how I feel about this show too.
Well, and she kind of seems like someone who would give you the money without much like ask. So then like you wouldn't have to worry about her.
Like she wouldn't want a lot of, or need a lot of creative control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Great. And like wide variety of people we haven't talked about in a long time. So good job.
Thank you.
For mine, my director, I said Sally Reed from Barry.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I want to watch that show now too. Oh, she would be so great. Now that Barry's over, she should be on Only Murders also.
She would be great. She needs to be in everything, but yeah, I agree. And then for my lead, I said BoJack Horseman. I feel like I'm kind of cheating because all these people kind of already do these roles, but that's why they'd be good.
Yeah.
And BoJack, it's like, I feel for him so much that I want to find him that role to like, you know, that's like really renowned and good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure my play would be that for him.
100%. And I also feel like Paul Rudd's character, it's different from BoJack because he's not, no, he actually is a former sitcom star. So I feel like there's a lot of BoJack in Paul Rudd's character this season.
That's true. That is very true. Good observation.
Thank you.
And then for producer, I went less with someone who's super rich and more so someone who is really good at just like working magic and getting other rich people's money. And I said Susie Meyerson, a.k.a. Alex Borstein from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Ooh, love it. I actually thought you were going to say like Buddy Garrity from Friday Night Lights. So I like this.
He would be good too, actually.
This one's better, but that would be really funny. But yeah, no, that's a perfect answer. And she knows showbiz already.
She knows showbiz.
That would be probably better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so on to Only Murders in the Building season 3. How did you feel about it? How'd you like it stacked to the other seasons?
I loved it. I feel like every moment I was having fun. I feel like in the other seasons, I always end up having fun. But sometimes I'm kind of like, huh, what's going on? Or like, this isn't moving very quickly. It kind of feels a little slow. And I felt like this season, the pace was like really, really right. And like the cast was, every single season, they have a great cast. This cast was like absolutely magical, perfect. Meryl Streep, like, I heard someone else say that it's like, we didn't know how much Meryl was actually going to be in the season. Like, is it kind of, because a lot of people they bring on the cast, even this season, are in it for a little bit and then they fade away and you never see him again. But mm-hmm. she was in it a lot. She was a very crucial character. And I think having her there just like brought something extra to the season. Obviously, like, we all know she's like the greatest actor of all time. But she was being really goofy and like just really embraced this character and was so convincing. And it was like amazing.
Yeah, like, I've never really seen her in a role like this. And so it was really fun to see that. And I feel like they left it open, like, she's probably returning next season.
I really hope so. I like loved her chemistry with Martin Short and with everybody. Like,
do you think Martin Short like shit his pants when he realized that he'd have to be like kissing her?
I don't know. I want to know. I want to know, like, all these people that have been in Hollywood so long, like, were they buddies at all before? I can't think of a time when they were all in anything together. So like, yeah, like, oh, we're going to be romantic. Like, you're my love interest. Like, that's crazy. And I just feel like
Martin is technically the lead on the show.
Yeah.
So like, and then Meryl's like down
Queen
the
of
list.
Hollywood. Like, I think that was something that was really fun, was that like, she's the most renowned person ever, but she was clearly having fun. And like, she's going to be on this really silly show with Selena Gomez, and like, I feel like she had a lot of scenes with Selena. I thought that was, I was like, was everyone shitting their pants? Like, Selena Gomez gets to be co-stars with Meryl Streep. That is awesome. Like, it was just fun. I loved it.
And her star power didn't overpower. Like, she blended in so well.
Yeah. I feel like that was something for me that was so special having her there, was like, it's a reminder of why she's the best, because she becomes the person you're watching. It's not, I wasn't watching it being like, oh, another Meryl Streep scene. I like felt like I was seeing this character, because I liked watching the journey of like the reveals that she had throughout the season were like really touching too. Like, there was a lot of emotion there. I actually feel like there was maybe more emotion. There's always a lot of sweetness in the show, but I feel like this season had like even more like tenderness kind of behind it. Like, even like in the last episode, there's some characters that I just kind of thought were like jerks the whole time, but actually you kind of find out that they actually have kind of like soft spots to them too. And like, even like, yeah, Paul Rudd finding out like the people he cares about most in the world are these like old women who sew his costumes. And when they're like, he stayed up all night sewing these hankies. I was like, what? Like, that's so weird, but it's really like sweet. It was just so, I don't know. I'm rambling now, but I loved this season. I thought it was amazing.
I agree. Paul Rudd's character reminded me a lot of James Marsden playing himself in Jury Duty.
That is so spot on. Yes.
And that
like,
was
did he
really
watch Jury Duty?
Me.
And he's like, wait, oh no. He's stealing my thunder.
He did my bit.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, so like, funny. Paul Rudd also was great.
Yes.
My one complaint is that they had Ashley Park, who we love, and they did not use her to her full potential. Like, she has barely any lines. She's an actual Broadway star, and like, you don't really see her performing on the stage that much either. So mm-mm. like, they didn't give her a ton to work with, which I was kind of bummed by.
Yeah, like I think we heard her sing like one time. Wasn't enough. Yeah. She sings almost every episode of Emily in Paris. You know, like give us this here too.
Good point.
Something when you were talking about James Marsden, that reminds me of one of my favorite things of the season was when Matthew Broderick has a cameo as himself. That was like, it was so unexpected, even though they'll always get me because every season they have some celebrity playing themselves. Like, I forgot until they mentioned how Sting was playing himself in season one, and then we had Amy Schumer last season. Mm-hmm. And so it's so funny because you have this cast with like really famous people all not playing themselves, and then you have randomly a famous person playing themselves, and it really like, it's just like a really fun little treat, and he was so funny and I loved it.
I agree. I feel like they've really dialed in on how to use really, really famous people and like have such a stacked cast and not have it feel like overwhelming and have it feel like balanced and like just have it flow really well and not be distracting, which I think we've kind of been talking about on some previous episodes of our podcast. And so I was just thinking about how they've done that really well and that's gotten better throughout the series.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
My last note that I just wanted to mention is one of my favorite parts is the ending credits, where they give you an opportunity to kind of get a closer look at some of their like props that they made and like used as like clues. One of my favorites is the Paul Rudd quilt that all the quilting ladies and assuming him made together. Like, there's just this quilt that has his face on it.
Oh my gosh. And I don't think so I appreciated funny. That enough. I might have to go back and look at it because wow.
Yeah, just go watch all the closing credits because it like zooms in on those and it's really fun and beautiful. Like, there was there's one with like a news article about Paul Rudd's character being like a celebrity. And so I paused it and was like reading it, and the whole news article is so funny.
It's so hilarious. It's like, who wrote it? Who writes that? It's so good.
I would love to know.
It almost this is kind of I wish that makes me wish that there were like, it reminds me of like a computer game from when I was a kid where you like are just clicking around and picking things up and looking at stuff. I'm like, wow, if there were an Only Murders video game, that would be a slay.
Truly. Spoiler time real quick. The ending was so sad.
I was absolutely devastated. Jane Lynch is in a show that I really like. She's like my favorite part. One of my favorite things in the first season and ever since was when she plays Steve Martin's body double for all of his roles. Like, that is just the funniest thing. They do look alike, and she wears the same clothes as him everywhere. Like, it's so funny. She's so likable too. Like, she's one of the most, like, she always like, I love this season when she's just like kind of this calming, happy presence for everybody mm-hmm. when everything's like bad or really stressful. And I was devastated.
Yeah, as soon as she, because I know how this show works, you know, like, you know, they're going to set it up and there's going to be another murder before it ends.
Yes.
To get you ready for season four. And so as soon as Sue Sylvester knocked on that door for the party, I was like, Sue's dying. And yeah, I was sad. So, but I'm hoping the next season we get a lot of throwbacks. Mm-hmm. And because there was still a decent amount of Paul Rudd in this season.
Yeah, totally. They do a good job of giving you context and you get to know the characters better and everything. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Who was your crush of the week?
My crush of the week, you know, I really like, I'm going to have to say Meryl Streep. The whole season was so good. She was my favorite part. I was just in awe of her the whole time. And I do hope she's at least has a recurring role. Maybe, you know, what would be kind of funny? Because if she's going to, like, become really successful, it's like we just see, like, posters of her everywhere, like, in the background of things. Like, I could see them doing that. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of cute.
If and then just, like, alluding to the fact that they, like, broke up.
Yeah.
Because she got too famous or something.
Yeah.
My crush of the week, we haven't mentioned this famous person that was also in this season, Jesse Williams, a.k.a. Jackson Avery from Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun to see him on my screen again. And when I think I knew he was going to be in the season, but I completely forgot. So when he showed up, I was like a little like shocked, like my mouth dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of disappeared for a second. I was like, they did not really bring Jackson Avery in for just like a quick cameo. And so I was glad when he came back and was like a reoccurring character and also not really a bad guy. Because at first I was kind of hesitant about his intentions with my girl Selena. But they're kind of cute together. I was into it.
Yeah,
they were. It was way better than the Cara Delevingne storyline from last season.
I know. That was, well, and yeah, I was kind of surprised when he kind of faded away because I felt like Cara was in it like a lot. It's funny.
Yeah.
That was kind of an upgrade. Go from Cara Delevingne to Meryl Streep as guest star. But
Cara
yeah.
Delevingne laid the groundwork, though, you know?
She did. She totally did. Yeah, he was like, he's just so hot. Everyone knows. He's just like basically, I think he's a good actor, but he's best known for being really hot. It was also.
First and foremost.
Yeah. Let's not forget what's important here. He's really hot. It was really funny because they were like, Meryl almost got that role, or she got cast in that Grey's Anatomy spinoff. And so that was pretty funny that it's like Grey's Anatomy reference him.
I totally missed that.
It was silly.
That
was
so really silly. Funny, actually. I love that.
I will say one more thing about Jesse Williams. His name was Taubert, and that never was really explained in any way. That was really funny.
It wasn't explained, but I loved all the jokes about it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was very funny.
It was kind of funny because that was almost like, because I was, I mean, how can you not be suspicious of like a hot person and a famous person in the show? You're kind of like, are they going to be the killer or something? But the name also was added to my suspicion because it's like, is that like a fake name he made up on the spot? But no, apparently that's just his real name, Taubert.
Yeah, it was a funny bit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to us discuss Only Murders in the Building season 3. Next week we are going to be talking about the Beckham documentary series on Netflix. Is there a name for it? I don't know.
I think it's literally called that. Beckham.
Oh, perfect.
So you're right.
Beckham. I'm going to have to watch Bend It Like Beckham now that we're saying Beckham so many times.
I love Bend It. And you know what, like the one line I remember the most from Bend It Like Beckham is when Keira Knightley's mom, I think, is like, Sporty Spice is the one who never had a girl, had a boyfriend or something like that. And it's like, was he involved with Posh at the time? I don't know. I'll have to look at my timeline. I feel like he was. I just never put
that
together.
That's a good question. We'll come with the answer next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.